I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. A few of you might love the sound of bagpipes, but I'm going to guess that most of you would rather not hear the wailing of bagpipes for very long. We get it. And you're in luck. Our next story is about the bagpipe business, and it starts in a workshop about 50 miles northwest of here in Nashua, New Hampshire. The World's April Peavy paid a visit.
Right now, Tom's making two sets of our Great Highland bagpipes. He's shaping these into the drones themselves.
That's Richard Spaulding, operations manager of Gibson Bagpipes in Nashua. He shows me around the shop. I admit, I was expecting to hear bagpipes.
It's amazing, like, with the machinery. It's just like regular woodworking.
It's all lathes, all just lathes.
The place reminded me of my dad's woodworking shop in our backyard when I was growing up. Only my dad didn't make bagpipes.
It's about 8 working days to get 2 sets of pipes done.
It's a small shop with only 4 full-timers and 3 part-timers. Spaulding says there are challenges to making bagpipes by hand in New England.
One, it's a Scottish instrument that's being made in America when you have companies in Scotland. We have to fight for our space in the market.
Another challenge, the wood. Gibson uses African blackwood for their Great Highland pipes, you know, the kind you see at parades and funerals. The smaller pipes are made of a tropical wood from Central America called cocobolo.
It's a much lighter colored wood, has a beautiful grain to it. This is a very dense wood, but not quite as dense as blackwood. It gives a softer tone to it, so it's good for small pipes.
That's Eric Bean. He's in charge of quality control and product development at Gibson Bagpipes. He's also a piper, so he can distinguish subtle differences in wood or craftsmanship.
There's a difference in the tone, the sound it produces, the volume, you know, everything having to do with sound.
I asked him to demonstrate.
With the Great Highland pipes, or really any of them, it's hard to tell being not being a piper. But pipers, especially experienced ones, can definitely tell the difference.
Just sounds like bagpipes to me. Last year, the UN added both African blackwood and cocobolo to its list of endangered species. Though Richard Spaulding says, technically, these woods aren't endangered.
It's not like ivory, but they want to start watching it before it does become endangered, make sure it's being harvested legally, and there's not a black market that goes on with it.
That entails a lot of paperwork. A quarter of their sales are overseas. It took an entire year for Gibson to get the proper permits to be allowed to export their bagpipes. They're not the only ones.
My name's Alan Waldron from Stirling Bagpipes in Scotland.
I met him this summer while on vacation.
I've had this shop here for 9 years, but I've been making bagpipes for 24 years now.
Hello.
Hi, yeah. Can I help you,
Shannon?
Pop your baby up.
Alan Waldron restores antique bagpipes and also makes new ones using African blackwood, so he's concerned about the paperwork too. But he says he has a bigger worry, Brexit.
I think Brexit is going to be the big problem, where my paperwork to send anything to the European Union will be much worse.
Bagpipes and bureaucracy, a harsh mix that has no borders. For The World, I'm April Peavy.
That story was part of our 50 States project, looking at how the global economy is impacting communities across the U.S. To check out all of our 50 States stories, go to pri.org/50 states, 50 states.